Big ups to the Gold Trotters.
My name is Seth Franco. Everybody wave one hand and say, hi, Seth.
Hi, Seth.
Yeah. I'm originally from New York. Everybody do a shoulder shrug. Some of you are like, hey, we're going to go to school today. You guys ready to go to school with me? Some of you are like, I already paid my dues. No, you're back in school this morning. Everybody put a hand up in the air.
I love you.
You love me.
We're a...
Give someone a big hug. Come on, give somebody a big hug. Everybody give my little brother, Harry, give Harry a big round of applause. I brought a special guest with me. All the way from New York City. He's a real life gangster. Give it up for the gangster of love, Artie. Give him a big round of applause. Real life gangster right here. Everybody put a hand up in the air. Just go like this. Artie drives a big truck. Can you give Artie a big round of applause? Hey, you know what's funny? That's how we started every school assembly. I told all the kids, I got a real life gangster with me from New York, and he's a bad man. Everybody give it up for the gangster of love. Artie, give him a big round of applause. Artie would walk out and be like, pointing at kids, and they're just dying laughing. I'd say, okay, he's not from New York. He lives in Australia. He's not a gangster, but he does have a whole bunch of love. And every school assembly was my honor just to let them see the face and the heart behind the school tour. It's Compass Church. And it's people like Artie who just love kids. And so every school got a chance to meet Artie, and here's what's so cool. Is when I leave, Artie's still going to be there reaching out to the schools through Compass Care. Isn't that awesome? And they all know him as the gangster of love. Can you give Artie another big round of applause? Artie, you're the man, dude. Thanks for all you did this week. And you know what? As much as you said that you had a great time being with me and Preston, it was really my pleasure to be with you. I just had a blast. We had a great time. It was so cool. Hey, I want to pull a few of you out of the crowd. Yep, that's right. I want to do, we're just going to school today, so you better learn how to act like a kid. Look at someone right now and just go. Thank you. I need a few volunteers from the crowd. This is what we're going to do. You got to put your hand down. You cannot volunteer yourself. The crowd is going to volunteer you. Some of you just got really insecure right now. This is what we're going to do. This is what we did for all the schools. We're just taking you to school today, right? What we're going to do is I'm going to say a category. And you're going to vote for each category. Whoever you think best fits the description, you're going to point to them and cheer for them. Whoever you cheer for the loudest, and can I tell you, no one is off limits today. So you can vote for whoever you want. You ready? You ready for this? The first person I need you to vote for, Compass Church, who is the smartest person you know? Who is the smartest? Point to him right now. Come on. You got to vote for somebody. Who are you guys voting for? Come on. Vote for somebody. I need the smartest person you know. This young man right here, come on up. You should have seen the kid's face when they'd come up. They're like, what is going on? What's your name, young man?
Ian.
Ian, and everybody give Ian a big round of applause. Ian, what year are you in school?
Just after year 12.
Good. Give him a big round of applause. Big round of applause. We have our smart person. Everybody go, come on, real loud, just go, All right, I need another volunteer. I need you to vote for the funniest person you know. Who's the funniest person you know? Come on, vote for the funniest person. Who's the funniest? Whichever group gets louder. Who? Oh, yeah. Yep. In the glasses. Right back there. Come on up here. Everybody do a fist pump. Switch. Do it with both. What's your name, young man?
Lester.
Lester. Everybody give Lester a big round of applause. Lester, what year are you in?
11.
Give him a big round of applause. Lester's here. Come on, give him a big round of applause. All right, we have our smart person. Everyone just go. Yep, we have our funny person. Big round of applause. All right, the next person I need. Usually by this time in the school assembly, teachers are really worried. They're like, wow, this guy's a drug addict. They're like, they don't know what my story is, and they just have this look like they've been hit by a train. Like, all right, the next person I need is the nicest person you know. Pointer, who is the nicest, sweetest person you know? Go ahead. You can turn that up a little bit. Who's the nicest? Yep. Right over here. Come on up. Give her a big round of applause. She's running out of the building. Hold up, don't embarrass her. I need someone else. Who wants to come up? I need someone who wants to come up. Yeah, Kate, come on up here, everybody. Everybody clap your hands. What's your name, sweetheart? Kate, everyone give Kate a big round of applause. Kate is in year 7. Give her a big round of applause. This is a big deal for her. She's like, I hate you. Give her another big round of applause. All right, we have our smart person. Everyone go. Yes, we have our funny person. Big round of applause. And we have our nice person. Everyone just go, aww. Stop it. All right, the next person I need is the best dancer. You know what? Natalie's like, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have danced so much last night. Should we pick Nat? Who should we pick? All right, come on up here, Nat. Nat's like, you're never coming here ever again. No, I'm just kidding. And what's your name, sweetheart?
Nat.
Everyone give Nat a big round of applause. And Nat, what year are you?
Year 9.
Give Nat a big round of applause. Now, hold up. Hold up. The Bible says you should always give where honor is due, and Phil Brake is actually the one who taught me all my basketball tricks. So I would never dishonor his wife. Nat, if you would like, you can pick April to take your place. It's up to you. Do you want April to take your place? It's up to you. You have the power. She's right there blushing. You want her to replace? April, come on down. Everybody give April a big round of applause. Now it's like, I like this guy. Everybody give April a big round of applause. April, what's your name?
April.
Good job. Everyone give April some love. April, seriously, what year are you?
7.
You know what's so great about April? Besides that, she's Phil's daughter. And she gets a lot of attention because she's a pastor's kid. And believe it or not, I was a pastor's kid, so I know what that's like. The only thing is my dad pastored in Brooklyn. No one even knew my name was Seth. They saw it was said. It's Seth. Yeah, said. No, it's Seth. No, said. I said said. No, you said said. Anyway, you know what? A lot of times April gets to do special things no one else does. Like hang out with guest speakers, but you know what they don't know? Is that she was in here yesterday morning with a screwdriver putting together all the stools so the kids had a place to sit. And she was here for hours working hard behind the scenes. She's a pretty special girl. And she's awesome. I'm glad she's up here. Give her a big round of applause. All right. I need another volunteer. I need the best singer. Singer. Who's the best singer? Who's the best singer? Who's the best singer? All the way in the back. Come on up here. Give her a big round of applause. Everybody put your hands in the air. Just fill the room with love. Go ahead, put your arm around someone and just sway to the music. You guys are so cute. Hey, give all my volunteers a big round of applause. We're going to do exactly what we did in the schools, just to give you a sample. Every student gets to come out and their whole school cheers for them. Isn't that pretty cool? And every one of them get voted for by their peers. I think that's pretty cool. What's funny is you get to the older kids and they start voting for kids who don't even have that talent. So the one who comes up like never sang in his life. The best dancer doesn't even know how to move to a beat, you know? It's so great. The smartest kid's about to flunk out and be removed from school, you know? And it doesn't matter because it's just fun. I was in New York doing a school assembly, and I found out later on we were doing an anti-bullying assembly, and they actually picked the biggest bully in the school for being the nicest person. And you guys know Preston. Preston makes me say and do things. It doesn't even matter if it works or not. He's just like, you better say this, right? So I go up there, and I had to do an anti-bullying trivia question for each student. And I went up to the biggest bully. I didn't even know it. And I said, if someone's picking on you, the best thing to do is fight back. True or false? And the whole crowd just went nuts because this guy's a big bully, right? And he had to say... balls. It was so good. It was so good. Anyway, this is what we're going to do. We're going to play a little game. All you have to do in this game is make a circle around me. So you're big, you can be in the back. You're fun size, you can go in the front. Everybody just make like a circle. A circle, like a donut. Good job. Give them a big round of applause. In this game, all you have to do is catch the ball and throw it right back. Just catch the ball and throw it back. Catch the ball and throw it back. Catch the ball and throw it back. Catch the ball. Good job, April. All you have to do is catch the ball and throw it right back. If for some reason during this game, if you drop the ball... Yes, thank you. Perfect example. If you drop the ball, it means you are... out, and you gotta go sit down. Just practice. If someone drops the ball, everyone help me notify them. Everybody put a finger up. Yep, I had to tell some of the kids not the middle finger. Thank you. Yeah, everybody put a finger up. If you drop the ball, you're gonna say, you are out. Everybody say it. You are out. This is Churcher. You gotta be meaner. Everyone say it louder. You are out. More attitude. You are out. Yep. If someone drops the ball, you're gonna tell them, you are out, then you're going to give them a big round of applause as they go back to their seat. Give them a big round of applause. Yep, so all you have to do is catch the ball and throw it right back. If you drop the ball, you're out, yep. If you pass the ball to someone other than me, you're also out, okay? Remember to catch the ball with your hands and not your face, okay? All you have to do is catch the ball and throw it right back. If I drop the ball, I'm not out because I'm your special guest. Hey, real quick, let's find out who the last person standing will be. Go ahead, stand up and dance. Get it out of your system. All right. So during this time, we let all the kids stand up and dance. So you got to act like a kid. Everybody stand up and dance. Sit down. Then what we do is we tell all the teachers to stand up and dance. But this morning, all the leaders for Compass Care and the school tour, stand up and dance. Leaders only. Hey, you know what's so funny? Is usually the teachers get all red and embarrassed. And then there's that one wild teacher who's just insane and a horrible example to youth. And they start just dancing dirty and acting all crazy. And we're like, okay, stop. Hey, give all your leaders a big round of applause, huh? So welcome to school. This is what a school assembly is like. We come in and we try to throw a party everywhere we go. Preston, when we do U.S. school assemblies, he always reminds me that God wants us to serve people. And before people care about what you say, they want to know that you care about who they are. And so even while we were flying here, I was thinking, man, what do kids really need? And Preston and Phil and all the guys at Compass Care, they always think about what schools need, and they try to serve the school. And they need inspirational, motivational assemblies through the year. That's what they schedule for the kids. And so they try to provide a speaker. Well, I come in as part of the team with another speaker, and we try to think about how to serve the kids. Everyone plays a role, right? Every single morning there were people, different people like Jemima. Can you give her a big round of applause? Helping run the sound. She's actually DJing all the music. So if you have a wedding coming up or a birthday party, she's available for that. You know what? There were people like Shawantha, who's not here. Mick every morning was picking me up, driving me places. And Mick is just such a great guy, has such a heart. He's just all about serving people. And he's not afraid to work hard. He's a great athlete, but he uses that strength to carry sound systems everywhere he goes so that I could save my legs for dancing. You know, it's just so many different people. Kate, just helping take care of all the details when we get to his school and talking with people and making sure we need whatever we need before we get started. And Eldon, I don't know what he does. He's just crazy. Okay. He's just always there acting crazy and making things fun. It's just a blast. All joking aside, people like Jade, she came out and hung out with us and was just, you know, just going into schools and looking into the crowd and seeing other people that know why you're there. It just makes you feel like you're not alone and you're a part of a team. Last night, all the leaders, I mean, you guys were so amazing. You realize you made that event the big event. A kid walked in and the message last night was, you're the big event. Your life is the big event. And sometimes you get caught up in everything that you see on television or magazines as a kid. I mean, now it's more internet, you know. Maybe Facebook, Instagram, and you see people's highlights and the big events that they're a part of. And if you're not careful, you can think that you're not a big deal because maybe you don't think your life is as exciting as theirs. And it was so cool to be able to point out in the crowd and you see all those t-shirts that say YBE, Youth Big Event. These are all people in your community that after this night is long gone that actually think you're the biggest event that's ever happened. And they're excited about who you are and all the great things that are in your future. And so tonight, we wanted to throw a party to celebrate you. And it was so cool. We wanted to keep it a little bit like the atmosphere last night so you as a church could understand what you were a part of, because this isn't the school tour. It's not Seth Franco or Preston. It's really, it is Compass Care School Tour. But each and every single one of you can walk out and say, this is my school tour. If you're here this morning and you've been a part of giving, and when I say giving, I don't just mean finances. If all you do is live for money, you're missing out on what life is all about. There's nothing wrong with money. Money can be a tool that changes people's lives. I swam here from the U.S. because I didn't want to use any money for a flight, you know, because it's just... I'm more spiritual than that. So I saved up my money all year round just so I could buy my snacks while I was on tour, because the food here is very pricey. You can go ahead and play that music. When we get into the schools, I don't know if you know it, but some of you, you may have only been here a few months. Margaret, Jeff, it was so cool to hang out with you guys last night, and you're just starting to be a part of this family. And it's exciting for me to think, look, you're the big event too. That's why we do everything. Harry, you're the big event. April, you know what meant the most to me at all the schools we did? Every school was amazing, but I wanted to make sure your school went well. Because if we come here and we minister to every teenager, but you don't feel like what we're doing is amazing, then we miss the mark. Because how many of you know that our young people are missionaries to this world? And look, I thought one of the greatest things, I gave Nat a hard time about dancing last night, but Nat just jumped in and started dancing in a fun way. And that's what kids need. And everyone started, she's like, thank you for clarifying that it was fun and not dirty. Thank you. You know what? The young man from the seventh grade who was up here with the glasses, I mean, they were all jumping in and doing different things and having fun. And me and Phil got in the car last night to go get some food. And I was just saying, that was so cool. Your leaders made that event. Do you understand that there were other youth groups here that aren't even a part of this church? And you changed kids' lives. The other youth groups wanted to take pictures, and they didn't want to forget the event. Phil will tell you, Mike will tell you some of the stories we started to hear that night. Of students that came forward. And I spoke last night about how your life is a big event. And sometimes this world makes you feel like you're worth nothing.
And it's okay. It's just part of who we are. We have feelings. And sometimes those feelings help us. For me, I've been through some surgeries, and I had to learn how to stand. I learned how to walk. I could not run last time I was here, but I actually reached that goal, and I'm running again. And I talk to kids about how there's times in life where your feelings will tell you you cannot do something, but you can't give up. You've got to push through the pain. You've got to believe that you can do what's impossible, because before something is miraculous, it becomes impossible or it's not a miracle. And hey, you know what? We get used to all these words, and a kid, that means absolutely nothing. Go ahead, ask a kid to tell you what miraculous means to him. If I were to ask Harry what miraculous means, he might think it's his fact that that guy who was standing up here with the long hair was actually his dad. And you know what? Sometimes we're just speaking this language that kids are like, what are you talking about? But you know what? When April didn't just put all the stools together and work hard, but she came out here and partied hardy like it's 2015 with Artie. That was cool. It rhymed. And I didn't even plan it. That was sweet. Hey, you know what? When Kate came out here and she's been busting her towel all week long, I mean, anytime I needed something, you were there just with a good attitude trying to help just so we could talk to kids. And she came in here and she danced till she almost passed out and dehydrated. Eldon was just Eldon. It was crazy. You know, Eldon was wearing that outfit all night and having serious conversations with people. He came over to me like, so how was your day? I'm like, really, dude? You're going to try to talk to me like you're not wearing a mullet right now. He's like, actually, I'm going to sleep in this. I love it. No. You guys are driving through town later and you see him doing construction in the mullet. Just working. Hey! Like, this guy's the real deal. He's no different on stage than he is in real life. So many people making such a difference. Whether it's serving food, whether it's Mick and Eldon just acting crazy, hurting each other on stage so kids can laugh. Or whether it's Phil Brake, who no one even knew his name last night. None of the kids even knew who he was, but he ran the whole thing. And you've got a leader that loves you so much that says, what's your dream? And instead of running the event the way we ran it last year, he let all the kids decide how we were going to run it. And so April and Ruby jumped in. Ruby was in here with April doing all that stuff. Ruby's job was to test out all the games. She was on the rubber band for about a half an hour until she almost puked. They had a big blow-up game in the back where you could run on the rubber band and then it slingshot you back and you'd race people. It was really cool. This place looked like a carnival last night. You think this is wild? It was crazy. And here's what's so amazing. I'm speaking and I say that standing on the truth is like standing on this little stage. So last night when I spoke, I was up here and all the kids were in the beanbags on the floor. And I said, it just kind of hit me. I was like, man, this little stage, but it gives me a chance to stand over everything. And the truth is the same way. You know, you have feelings that tell you're worth nothing. And sometimes you can't see past those feelings because of the pain. I talked about the pain in my legs. See, I went through a time in my life when I was 19 years old where I lost the ability to walk. I was born with a minor case of hip dysplasia. They say the minor cases are the worst. We met multiple students this week that said, I actually have what you have. Thanks for coming to school. I met teachers who said the same thing. One girl came up to me and she said, I had hip dysplasia, but it was not a minor case of hip dysplasia. I had my first surgery at 18 months years old. I said, well, how many have you had? Because I know a lot about hip dysplasia. I knew that was just the beginning of her struggle. She said, yeah, I wore a cast, body cast from the waist down or whatever. When you're born with a normal case of hip dysplasia, you can wear braces that help form your bones while you're young, and you're changeable. So you could change when you're young so much easier. That's why we do youth events to say, hey, you don't got to live this thing alone. God's with you. And it's so easy to try to do things alone because all it takes is one, maybe two experiences where you put yourself out there and the world rejects you. And at a young age, a little kid begins to learn, man, I don't know if I want to trust anyone with my heart. And it's so cool to do a big event where you can just say, hey, you could trust God with your heart and you can try again. You don't have to live all alone. And for me, that was my story. I was born with a minor case of hip dysplasia, and they say those are the worst because the pain goes undetected. There's only one person who knows the pain, and it's you if you have it.
It starts out so small that you're the only one that knows what's going on. And it's crazy. Mick will tell you. Kate will tell you. Jemima will tell you. Anyone who's been involved with the school tour. Ruby, April, they'll tell you if you talk to them, especially those two girls. They'll tell you that you don't have any idea what some of these kids are going through. Because you can look like everything's fine, and there's only one person who knows the struggle, one person who knows the pain, and that's you, if you haven't. And maybe this morning you walked in here, and you're going through one of the biggest battles of your life. I know that's not everyone. That's okay. That's a good thing. See, God allows us to go through different things at different times in our life so we can learn a bigger lesson, that we can learn how to be a family. This school tour was a success because of the team that we were. My little brother Isaac, my Aussie brother. Oi, oi. The reason I was able to get through this tour is you just showed up at the right moment, at the right time when I was wiped out, and you made me feel like I could do 1,000 more school assemblies. Because when I look at Isaac, I see the reason why we go into schools. Because there's a young man who's going to change the world. His mom was back behind our little backstage green room with me. We try to do things professionally. There was nothing green back there, just donuts. She pulled out her phone and she started showing me of pictures of this young man in another country with people from a different part of this world, and I love it. I'll never forget it. I'll remember it the rest of my life, the photo I saw of you with your eyes closed and your hand held out, and I just thought to myself, way to go, Compass Church. Way to show a young person the difference they could make in this world. Just praying for young kids, not waiting until you're older to make a difference. I hope that's what you saw, because if I didn't change your life this week, I missed the mark of everything, because you're the biggest event in the room. And that's what every kid is when they walk in. See, I went through a time in my life where I felt like I was worth nothing. And can I tell you, you don't have to be a youth to be a big event. You're amazing just the way you are. And I know it's cheesy, but cheesy things can set you free, because the truth sometimes is cheesy. Because you have a dad who does not care. He will grab you. He will hug you like me when I see my daughter. I'll kiss her in front of all her friends. And some of the boys go, ew. And even my daughter goes, ew, you're embarrassing me. I don't care. The rest of her life, she's got to worry about where I am. Then I'm going to grab her. Because you know what? When we get alone, I'm the only one she wants. And I hope that's the mark I've left on your life. That when you feel alone, the only thing your heart cries out for is God. Not cool basketball tricks. Not an amazing event where you see your friends have the time of their life. But something that when you hit the darkest moment in your life. See, I may not see the fruit of everything we do here with my own eyes. But you're going to walk into it. You're going to be a part of it. Because God has put a mark on you through this school tour. You may feel like you just showed up at a school. And you're just someone who helps day in, day out. And you never grab a microphone. You're never under the lights. But can I tell you, if you walked into a school with us, you left a mark on a young person's life forever. You're a part of what's about to take place. If you said a prayer, you left a mark on a young person's life forever. And you could say, oh man, all I did was pray. Are you kidding me? If you knew the things that go on and the battles we face and the headaches we have, God's always told me before the biggest headache comes the biggest breakthrough. So be ready for some headaches. You know why they're saying amen? Because we all had headaches this week. On Tuesday, I told Mick at breakfast this morning, I just told him the truth. I said, man, on Tuesday, at the end of the day, I started just to cry. And I thought, I cannot finish this week. I'm not strong enough. We had some Thai food and I felt better. I went to bed early and I woke up and I felt like I could do 1,000 push-ups in a row and go do 100 more school assemblies. What an amazing life we live. Where every day we give everything we have because someone needs us to be the best person we can be. My story, if you don't know it, I'm going to tell you it in 2 minutes. So if you're sleeping, wake up. Kids do that. I got to a night where I wanted to end my life. I wasn't emotional. I wasn't crying. That's why I've learned to love and respect kids no matter what they look like or what their attitude is, because they might be actually struggling with something bigger than just me. You walk into a school and a kid gives you an attitude and you think, man, no one taught him how to act. No, maybe no one's taught you how to act for someone who's hurting.
I mean, imagine if you worked in a hospital and you got insulted every single time someone gave you an attitude. You just couldn't be in the hospital. God couldn't send you until you learn that you're there for a reason. And we just focus on that reason and say, hey, there's some hurting kids. And can I just be a little warning sign for you this morning? As fun and as crazy and as weird as this morning has been, there's a lot more coming. And there's kids, people who are going to walk in this room who are a mess. There are people in this room this morning that are hiding because they're a mess. And they feel like they don't even deserve to come in here. If you're that person, can I tell you, I don't feel like that. I am that. I don't deserve to be here. So welcome. I actually got to the point where I went to the end of my life and I wasn't emotional. And if you're in this room, your plan's going to change before you walk out of that door. Because I don't know if you know it, but every kid experienced that night, that's actually a magical door. And you can't walk in this place and not be changed and go out. And every kid walked out and it was different. Wasn't it? Wasn't it different? I felt different. I didn't give up. I actually fell asleep. I was too tired to end my life. What I didn't know is the next day was going to be the greatest day of my life. I ended up waking up the next day on the floor. I was eating out of a food bank. I didn't have enough money for some of the things I needed. I had lost my college scholarship because my joints started falling apart because I was hiding my pain. What I didn't know is, even though I felt like I was worth nothing, the next day was going to be a big event in my life. I ended up winning the lead role to a movie about basketball at Universal Studios. The first line that they had me read in the open tryout, I didn't even know. I found out the next morning when I woke up. My coach ran me out to the last day of a tryout, 3 hours left, Universal Studios, Malcolm Lee, Spike Lee's cousin. I tried out for the movie. They handed me a script. After they saw the basketball tricks that I'm about to do for you in closing, all the basketball tricks that we did in schools, all the basketball tricks that I learned when I could not play basketball and I was trying to recover from my surgeries, when I was mad because I thought God was ruining my life, God was putting it together, making me a better person because he knew one day we'd do school tours and I would need more than just competitive basketball, but I'd have to learn how to entertain a whole generation that's ADHD. I'm talking and kids are like, squirrel, you're just looking out the window. I'm ADHD, so we get along great. I ended up winning the lead role to the movie. The night before I wanted to end my life, what I didn't know is there was a script written by someone else, and I fit the description of the lead role. Can I tell you that there's a script written, and no matter how dark the night has been, the next morning you get a chance to tell a kid that there's actually a place in this world for them, and it's not just someone who's an extra, but you get to tell them you're the biggest event in this movie. And when you walk into this place and you're a part of this church, you're one of the biggest thing that's ever happened. I hope you don't ever lose this right here. You see these beanbags and these kids hanging out and just people chilling? I hope you never lose that. That this is a place where kids could just come and be who they are and feel like I'm not in the way of this event. I am the event. Man, we live in a world that says that's just arrogance, and it's not, because when you know who you really are, you're humbled because the person next to you is just as special, and that's what the tour was all about. The movie was put on hold. I was recommended to Harlem Globetrotter Training Camp. That year I was on ESPN, MTV, BET, VH1, all different types of newspapers, magazines, radio. I walk into places and no one knows who I am. Even though it sounds like I've done some cool things, no one knows me. You know why? Because I wasn't strong enough to finish my dream. My dream came true. I told every student, dreams come true. I worked hard for my dream. I played in pain and reached a goal, but I had to face reality. One student sat up in the crowd. It was odd because it was one of the older guys from the high school, and he was just crying. Some of the girls would cry and not be embarrassed, but the guys crying in front of their other mates, he didn't even care. He even just sat in the front and said, I want to talk to Seth when he's done. I went over and I sat next to him and he said, I'm not upset. I've already been through my struggle. I struggled with depression and suicide for a long time and everyone knew because I had to get help. I wasn't even able to be in school. He said, all the years of self-harm have kept me from my dream to be in the military physically. And the way he was holding his hands, I could tell that he had hurt his wrists. And he had just tears coming down his face. And he said, I'm going to be the first person in my family to not live out the dream and be in the military, because that was his dream. He said, it didn't hit me because I struggled with it last year, But it hit me this year because now I would have been looking forward to living that dream out. And the closer I get to it while you're talking, it hit me that I lost a dream. And it was so cool to look right at him and say, you know, I lost mine too. Like I should be playing right now. It's okay. So cool to look at a crowd, but also look at an individual and say the same message we said in the school assembly. And here was the message, and I'm done. It's okay to struggle. It's not okay to give up. Can I just say that one more time to everyone who helped with the big event? In the last few years, you've poured your heart out, and you've wanted to see every, without a doubt, I know, you've wanted to see every single kid from every school show up at the big event. If you didn't want that, you really haven't even been involved yet to the point where your heart's fully in it. And you've struggled, and it's been hard. I hope you're hearing what God is saying this morning. Because just like my story, he knows what's around the corner. And before the big event becomes miraculous, before a young person's life, Isaac, becomes miraculous, it becomes impossible. Because it's not a miracle unless it's impossible. And man, you could look at the challenges ahead and think, this is impossible. And I felt that same way Tuesday. And you know what God did? He surrounded me by people like Artie. He surrounded me with friends and people who cared about me. DJ Aunt Jemima, who would just blare the music so I didn't have to use a lot of energy and the music would just carry me through and my legs were hurting. We worked together as a team, and can I tell you, Compass Church, it's okay to struggle. It's not okay to give up because you're changing people's lives. I was touring France on the world tour at the Globetrotters. I had to see doctors while I was in France. My legs were starting to hurt again. The doctor came out. I was 25 years old. They say the minor case of hip dysplasia are the worst because they go undetected. I had dealt with pain and hid it for years. The doctor came out with the x-rays and said, you have what's called hip dysplasia. You have to have both of your hips replaced. You don't even realize the amount of pain you're in. It's not the small problem you started with. The minor cases are the worst because your tolerance for the pain grows as the pain grows. And in your mind, you're playing professional basketball and you think you have like this minor injury that you deal with every day and you're actually about to lose the ability to walk again. I said, no, I'm not. And then they started to tell me how I felt without me telling them and things that were happening and ways I was feeling when I had told no one. And he said, you're about to lose the ability to walk. You're right on the brink. And just like you did it when you were 19, you're about to do it again. Minor case of hip dysplasia are the worst because there's only one person who knows the pain. And it's you. And if you don't speak up and get the help you need, they said if you would have asked for help when the pain first started, we could have sculpted your bones and you would have been pain-free. You chose all those sleepless nights. You chose that struggle. Sometimes when people love you, like Phil, they'll tell you something that hurts. But they're trying to get you to face reality so you could be happy for real. And you can face your problems and get healthy. It's a journey. It's hard. But there are people who care for you. There's a reason why it's called Compass Church. Because in the dark, you need to find your direction. And there's people who care about you. They love you. And we all need each other. Life is a struggle, but it's also a gift. And if we push through the fire and we face the pain in a healthy way that's right, and we're honest about our struggles, God can make us stronger than we've ever been before. And we can learn to take a stand for what's right in our life. We can learn to walk places and be like Jesus and do the things he's put in our heart. And when our heart and our mind begin to join together and dream about running a big event that changes thousands of kids' lives, when people say it's impossible, God says it's miraculous for a reason. And every single one of you are going to experience the goodness of God if you stand in faith, if you walk by faith, and when he touches your heart, you make a choice to run even though it hurts. And you go after the kids he's running after with all of your heart. Hey, I don't know what your struggle is. I don't even know why you're here. Maybe you walked in because someone invited you. But I believe that while I was talking, someone else was speaking a different language, touching your heart, and it's God. Because he speaks of the heart, and he knows where you're at. What I'm going to do is I'm going to close my time by doing my basketball tricks. And after my basketball routine's over, my basketball routine's only 3 minutes long. We end every assembly with it. When I'm done with my basketball tricks, I'm just going to say a prayer. And if you're here and this prayer is for you, I'd encourage you, even while we're praying, just to raise your hand and reach out towards God. Just reach out to him when we start praying at the end. If that's you and this morning's for you, just while I'm praying and asking God to be number one in my life all over again, because I need him more than ever, while I'm praying that prayer and I'm asking God to be the number one strength in my life, I'm asking that when I go back home, that I'm going to train harder than I've ever trained, that I'm going to become stronger than I've ever been, that I'm going to run after all the things he's put in my heart. While I'm praying that prayer, if you need that too, and you've never asked God to be in your life, if you've never dedicated yourself to being like Jesus, who walked on this earth and lived a life that was dedicated to God and others, I felt like we were with Jesus this week. We went the places he wanted us to go. We touched the hearts he wanted us to touch. If you need that type of life, that type of passion, you need your compass to show you where to go because you're struggling. While I say that prayer at the end of my routine, if that's you, I want you to do something bold. You might say, well, I'm not a church person. Good for you. That's what we're looking for, is someone who's real. We're not just a church. We're people living life, and there's kids who need us. We're going to do this again next year. Hey, if you're in this room and you need a special touch from God and you've never opened your life to him, when I say that prayer, you can just join in with me at the end. I'm just going to catch my breath. They're going to play a soft song in the background at the end. And while I'm praying, if that's you, we're all just going to close our eyes together when I start to pray. And if that's you, you just need a fresh touch from God. Or maybe you need that first time moment with him. You can just raise your hand. You can join with me as I say a kid's prayer for God to be number one in our lives. Yeah? As I do my basketball tricks, I just want to dedicate it to all the kids that we've met this year, especially the young man that we gave our basketball to. And knew my mentor in basketball, Phil Brake.
I can feel the spirit
on a beat.
When it moves down in my soul, as it comes to make me whole. I said
rock soul.
I can feel the power.
Remix.
As it washes over me, as it comes to set me free, said I glow. Nothing can erase the healing, nothing can replace the feeling, said I know. There's a real move deep inside, and it's too divine to hide.
You can go into that other song, Jemima, perfect, you're the best. Sometimes when I'm traveling alone at night, not every event, I'm surrounded by a team of people. Most of the times I'm alone at night when I'm on the road away from my family. I've been married 10 years to a beautiful girl named Sarah. I have a daughter. She's 8 years old. Her name is Jade. I told all the guys, if you touch her, I'll kill you. This has been the easiest tour. Because my family is surrounded by a great team of people who love them at home, our home church. I'm not worried at all. On Thursday, I started getting the daddies. I started missing my daughter. I was getting the daddies. It's a really crippling disease. And you know what? I started just to see an angel in my daughter's bedroom, just putting his hand and rubbing her hair like I did. And in the vision, every time he rubbed her hair, it was like there was anointing oil coming out of his hand, just anointing my daughter. I know it sounds weird, creepy, and flaky. That's me. I'm weird, creepy, and flaky. Get over it. And I'm not joking. I just had this vision in my mind of every night after that. I can still see it now. I wasn't worried about her at all. I knew she had peace. And then right before he would walk out of her room, the angel would just put his hand on her heart and fill her heart with hope and walk out of the room. That's what I do when I'm home. I just anoint my child with positive words. There's three phrases I say every night to her. I love you, I'm proud of you, and you're a good girl. She hears it every night. One night she had made a mistake at school. She had to change her color. You know, you have different colors on your tag. And I said, I love you, I'm proud of you, you're a good girl. And right before I put my hand on her heart to say goodnight, she said, no, I'm not. I had to change my color. And it was so great to look right at her with my hand on her heart and say, you're still a good girl. It's just what you did. It's not who you are. And the fact that you care shows me what a good girl you are. Can I tell you, Daddy loves you. I'm proud of you. You're a good girl. You will always be a good girl to Daddy. No matter what happens, I'm here. And I love you. And I tell her every time I leave, we're always together. Right here. We're always together. We're never apart. I think about you every moment of every day. That's me. In all my brokenness, as just a regular human. So what does God say to you when you're tired? When you're exhausted? You feel like you have nothing more to give. And you come to a moment like this where you feel like God's saying, I love you. I'm so proud of you. And you're like, what? And you're good. I look at you. You're my creation. You're so good. I love you. Man, he gave his life. He gave his son's only life. Because when he looks at you, he thinks that's how good you are, how amazing you are. The Bible says when you call out to God in the name of Jesus, he doesn't see all the sins, the struggles, and the mistakes. He wipes them clean because someone paid a price for it. His name was Jesus. When he died on the cross, he didn't stay there. They took his body down and they buried him. And they say hope no longer lives. And God had a different plan. The Bible says that 3 days later, he rose again. And he lives now with a great purpose. It's why we get up in the morning when we hurt and we do great things, because we have a purpose. Purpose pushes you through the pain. And the Bible says the reason Jesus lives and the purpose why he's alive is to intercede for us and stand between us and God and say, they are forgiven. I've paid the price. And so look, if you're here this morning and something's been standing in between you and all the great things that you've been created to do, can I tell you all those can be forgiven? Every feeling, every struggle, it can be wiped away? Do you have to face reality? Like the young man I sat next to in school, are there some dreams you're going to lose because of the choices you've made? Yeah. But can you hold your head up high? Can you cry tears that are pure and good and know that I have been through some things, but I'm not ashamed of who I am? Because everybody makes mistakes. Look, everybody struggles. It's okay to struggle. Jesus is the living example that it's not okay to give up. The Bible says the grave could not hold him because he had a purpose that was too great. We couldn't stay in bed on Friday morning. We would have never found out the reason why we were supposed to hand out a basketball to a young man, and who knows what he'll do with his life. One of the youth pastors that ran one of the events we did where kids gave their life to the Lord was in a school assembly with Reggie Dabbs years ago, and at 14 years old dedicated his life to God. Now you know why we call it the big event. It doesn't matter how big the crowd is to change a kid's heart. Hey, would you close your eyes and bow your head? And if this prayer is for you, start being a new person this morning, because there's a bold, courageous person inside of you who's not afraid or ashamed of anything that's happened in the past. And it's the person God's calling you to be. And while I say this prayer, why don't you let that person come alive? And if that's you and you need that special touch in your life, I want to encourage you as I say this prayer to join in with me in Compass family. If you already know the Lord, would you just join in with me? Let's be a team tonight, this morning, like we were last night. And let's say this prayer together. Let's surround the person who's hurting, who needs you. Maybe you're a person who's just edgy and crazy and you know it. Can I tell you that's the type of person God loves to grab a hold of? He's not asking you to change. He's designed you to be the way you are, and you're in the places you're in for a reason, because people need you to be who you are, to show them how real God is. He's not calling you to bring people to church. He's not calling you to change their religions. He's calling you to breathe life into them and to remind them that they were created to be something great in the eyes of God. See, you're supposed to walk around and remind people what the big event really is. And it's the moment you see yourself for who you created to be. Struggles and all. And that's what we did this week. We reminded kids of who they are. That there is hope. That it's okay to struggle. Physical disabilities, emotional challenges. Before it's miraculous, it's impossible. And miracles happen every day. Because Jesus is alive and he's real. He's walking with us. He's a part of this school tour. Things are just beginning. If you're in this room and you need this prayer while we begin to pray, just lift your hand up. Like we said last night to the kids, every time you say the name of Jesus, it's like reaching up, grabbing the heart of God and reminding him that he knows what it's like to be a human in the struggle and saying, God, come on, don't forget me in my struggle. You know how I feel. You've been here. You've walked this. Let's say this prayer together. It's a prayer to ask God to be number one. And just join with me if this prayer is yours. Just say, dear God, I know you're real and that you care for me. I know I'm not perfect. I struggle like everyone else. Take my heart and clean it. Show me who you want me to be and what you want me to do. And I'll do it as long as you go with me every step of the way. I give you my life. Capture my heart. I believe in Jesus. That he died for me. Help me to live with him. In Jesus' name, amen.